So the Bible Society carried out a survey this year. So the YouGov data, it was called the Quiet Revival. You'll probably have heard of it because I think there's quite a lot of discussion about it in the media. And briefly, its main findings are that contrary to the usual narrative that church attendance in the UK is in decline, actually, the number of people coming to church rose over the last 6 years, and not just by a little bit, but by 50%. And that's not the greatest increase was not among like an aging population, but among young people, 18 to 24-year-olds grew from 4% of them coming to church in 2018 to 16% last year, and among young men, that was over 20%. And the biggest increase of all was among young Catholics, who now outnumber Anglicans 2 to 1. So, okay, it's a survey, and we could ask questions about the methodology, but there's something there, and all kinds of questions fall out of that. So, what role did COVID play in all of this? What is it that these young people are looking for when they come to us, and do they find it? But generally, I think this is something that we're seeing. I've had lots of conversations recently, really interesting with young adults who you just wouldn't think would be interested in talking about Jesus. I think a lot of us have just got used to this assumption that young people aren't interested, that the church can't compete with the internet and entertainment and everything else that fills our lives. I said, well, good, so it shouldn't. Because the evidence is showing us that this new generation, Gen Z or whatever we're on now, is realizing for itself the hollowness of the promises of a world without God. So even if this survey data isn't perfect, there's something going on. And not just here. I was in France a few weeks ago, and over there, they had 10,000 people baptized just this last Easter. And the number of teenagers asking for baptism has grown tenfold since the beginning of the decade. So there's something. Friends, the harvest is rich. And I know we've been told that all our life, and maybe sometimes kind of found it hard to believe, but maybe we should start having more faith. Because it looks like we're living in a moment where there's a greater openness to the gospel than there has been for decades. And that should give us courage. It's true that we're not living in Christendom anymore. People don't grow up to be Christian by default. But that creates opportunity. I think last few generations were probably, there was enough residual Christianity around that we grew up kind of inoculated against it. Whereas actually now there's so little, and this new generation know nothing, which means that they can hear it with fresh ears. It means we have to start from scratch, but that's okay because the Lord Jesus is as present and active now as he ever has been. So I was thinking, it seemed like last week a number of us found inspiration in this feast of St. Peter and Paul. Maybe we got to know those two a little bit better. And this week in this gospel, we're being given the chance to ask how we could become more like them. If the Lord Jesus were to appear to me now, as he did to them, what might he be asking me to do to build up this church, the community, both in that sense of St. Peter within the walls, but also like St. Paul, carrying the gospel outside the walls to the pagans? And see, it doesn't matter that the laborers are few. It's never mattered. God has never needed big armies to carry out his purposes, just a few willing hearts. So what can we do? I think we should always start with prayer. That has to be number one, right? And I think Father Anthony writes really beautifully in this week's newsletter about the labor of the spiritual life, and the laborers are few because the spiritual life takes work, and there are few of us who reserve the time or energy to put that work in. But the truth is, the best and most powerful thing we can ever do to bring souls to the Lord Jesus is to become people who pray. Because that transforms us, and by being transformed, we can pass that on. And that happens as we come before the Lord. So we do need a community of people who labor in the fields of prayer, which is great because nobody has to sit here thinking, well, you know, bringing people to the Lord, well, I'm too old or I'm too tired or I'm too ill to be a part of that. Actually, it's prayer is the fuel for that engine. So anything that we do that is successful is because of the people in the parish who pray. But of course, we do need other kinds of laborers. For example, we do need priests. And by now you'll have read our newsletter this weekend. You'll have seen the announcement that both Father Sarji and Father Jonathan are leaving us this summer. So we are expecting a new priest to come and be based in Amesbury. But as yet, we're just not sure that there will be a replacement for Father Jonathan. It may well be that there's not. And that's why from next weekend, we will just have to keep to this new schedule of masses that is possible for just me and Father Anthony to say. And that's going to be quite tough, losing an 11 here and a 12:30, moving St. Gregory's from 9 to 11. That will be a challenge. It's sometimes a challenge to fit us all into our little churches already, you know, let alone like Christmas. But here we are, we're covering half the county now. And there's only so masses that two priests can say. So look, the harvest is rich, but the laborers are few. So we do need to ask the Lord to send more. And we need our sons to take it seriously as a path in life. You can take it from me, it's a heck of a life. So I'll have been ordained 3 years on Wednesday. And in that time, I know that I've had experiences as a priest that I would never have had in any other whole lifetime. Like, truly, indescribably wonderful things. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a lot of hard work and the money is terrible. But I can't think of anything more meaningful I could have done with my life. And for the record, I'm incredibly grateful to have been here in Salisbury and that I get to be here for another year at least. And so thank you for that. So we do need priests. But they're not the only kind of laborers. And what we want is a church where everybody feels invested enough in this parish community to contribute something. So like our Sunday Mass here is the centerpiece, of course, but if our worship doesn't bear fruit in the rest of the life of the parish, then it's like a heartbeat without a pulse going through the body. So we maybe need to ask ourselves, what can I do, like St. Peter, to build up this church community? Maybe could I go and visit the sick in the hospital? Or maybe adopt somebody in a care home who's lonely that I could visit or write to? Maybe I can't get out of the house much, but maybe I could do some admin on the computer. Or maybe I know social media. Or like, what about our children? We've spent this year trying to build up our family of faith community, which is so great. And we've got a beautiful team doing that, but small team, considering how many of us there are. Like, we could really do with some more people just willing to be there with the children on a Sunday morning. Because what else do we exist for, if not to pass on our faith to the next generation? And I won't be able to be part of it next year because I will always be needed to say Mass if we're a priest down. So I'm really sad about that because it's so much fun. Just things to bring into prayer. But all of that's inside the walls, isn't it? And actually, we started by thinking about the harvest being rich out there. So what does it look like for us to go out of this place carrying the gospel, like St. Paul, to this generation who are surprisingly open and wanting to hear about the Lord Jesus? As that survey has found, people do want hope and direction and to be part of something real. The harvest is plentiful. So how can we share what we have? And I guess that's a whole other homily, but in short, I think if we live this, if we live our faith both individually and as a community, the church would be the most attractive thing on earth. We wouldn't need to do anything. There was something about the Lord Jesus that just drew people in like a magnet. And if we could become even just a little bit like him, like that would happen. What does the Lord Jesus tell the disciples to do when he sends them out in today's gospel? Not much. It's like, wander around, have meals with people, stay with them, get to know with them, bring peace to their homes. He doesn't say anything about preaching or challenging. He just says, heal the sick, in like the richest sense of what that might mean. Show them that God has come very near to them. That's all he says. And if we're living that life, a life which is distinctive, which doesn't look or feel like anything else in the rest of the world, then that will be attractive. We won't need to do anything because people will see something in us and they will come and ask how they can get whatever it is that we have. And then we can just simply say, come and see. Friends, the harvest is rich. So let's be encouraged. The laborers are few and getting fewer, but so what? That's never stopped God before. All he needs is a few willing hearts. So please do take this into your prayer and ask St. Peter and St. Paul to help us to hear the Lord Jesus and to be courageous and generous enough to consider that question. What is he asking me to do? Praised be Jesus Christ.